Now on 88.3 Southern FM, this is the Fifth Quarter with Carl, Bug and Beanie.
Well, good morning, footy fans. This is another edition of the Fifth Quarter for your Sunday morning, covering everything from the Southern Footy and Netball League. Great to be with you this morning. It's not a great day outside, but that doesn't matter because we're here for the next hour and we're going to bring you everything that unfolded yesterday afternoon in the Southern Footy Netball League. Joining me as they do every Sunday morning in the studios here in Brighton is John Bennett and Wayne Fuller. Gentlemen, good morning to you.
Morning, Cole.
G'day, Carl, Bug, lovely Brighton.
How are you, John?
Great. What a beautiful day yesterday. 10 degrees.
Never looked better.
Windy, cold. It's a real footy day.
Yep.
I'm backed up again today.
Yeah.
Good day at the footy yesterday?
No.
Yes.
The Bloods are back.
They're back.
And the Hammers are finally on the board. Well done to them. Good. Got a win. See. Long year if you don't get a win. So that's on the board. In Div 2, only got Murrumbeen in there to get a win. And they still got a chance. They still got Heatherton and Hampton to play.
And we're finding a lot of clubs at the moment just struggling to get everybody out on the park with injuries at the moment.
Yeah.
Very tough.
The twos are still getting sides. So everyone's getting a side, which
is
good.
Yeah, South Yarra and Doveton Eagles forfeited their reserves yesterday.
Did they? Yeah. One of them or both? Who gets the points?
No.
Come on, you're the investigator.
Well, they weren't playing each other, but yeah.
Oh, they weren't playing each other. So the sides that were playing those two got...
Yeah. So that was a bit disappointing to hear that on... I think that was Friday that came out.
We haven't had a lot of forfeits,
no, we haven't,
good.
No. And, you know, I keep arguing, I think, and we've seen it during this season, how about 16 a side in the reserves and, I know, and even it up a bit.
Yeah, it's an extra couple of players that helps too.
It does, yeah.
Well, if you look at the VFL, what's going on, Sydney Swans... They're down in Melbourne at the moment, obviously, because of the COVID-19 situation in New South Wales, and they haven't had enough to fill their VFL site. Mm. So they've had to call upon Williamstown and Frankston and the other VFL sites to fill their squad.
But moving forward, I think next year, that's something that's really got to be looked at. We've discussed it a few times now.
Well,
but
that might be one for when the presidents get together. You can put your hand up if you haven't
already done that at one of our conferences.
And how'd that go down?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's common sense.
But you just can't change it midstream, so obviously at the end of the year it'll be heavily looked at, I would suggest.
Well, it's just common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can rake up 14 blokes, but you don't want to go out on the park.
I'm still big on the idea that if you can field a third, then there's no excuse as to why you can't build,
St Kilda City pulled their thirds out after last Saturday night's game, so they're gone for the rest of the season in that thirds competition.
Okay. Although, well, there's some news.
Well, it's
breaking news, Carl.
Yeah, thanks for that.
But yeah, no, that's another one I only found out. So I think some blokes do double up.
Look, if you have to double up, then you have to double up. But I think at the very least, you should have seniors in reserves and thirds. If you have enough people at your club field a thirds club, field a thirds club. But the priority should always be your seniors and your reserves, and then everything else comes after that.
Yep.
Yeah, and you need lots of extras to have a third. So some clubs can do it. Some clubs have got heaps. So
that's it.
Volunteers, trainers. Mm. Yeah.
But then again, in saying that there are instances where, like Sandown, where they just have a thirds team, if that's all you can field, but you want to be involved.
They try and play most of their games on a Friday night at home, and it gets the weekend free for a lot of blokes.
There's different circumstances there, so that's obviously a little different situation they find themselves in.
But I'm concerned, mate, with the reserves footy at the moment.
It's not a good standard.
It's credit to the boys who are pulling the jumpers on. The blokes who are getting the phone calls on a Saturday morning, but we've really got to look at reserves footy. It's not good.
Skills aren't good. Under 19s are a mile in front of reserves footy.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that yesterday. You watch a good game of 19s footy, and then you watch the twos just port your club, but it's getting tough.
It says a bit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Because you've been big in the past on having the 19s before the main game too.
Oh, yeah.
You've said that before feel like it's, the standard's a little better than what the reserves
is. It'd be a tough ass the blokes in the reserves to start at 10 o'clock on
Imagine
Saturday
that.
Morning.
I don't think
blokes work too.
Yeah, then they would drop right off.
Oh, they drop, yeah.
I don't think they'd be that idea.
But anyway, that's something clubs got to look at for next season in the league.
We had a guest timekeeper at Hampton Heatherton yesterday.
Yeah?
My good self. What an enjoyable afternoon that was.
Is that why the quarters went for 36 minutes?
Well, time one the second quarter was long and Hampton kicked 9 goals. I'm just trying to remember now whether I was on the ball there. I might have dropped my guard. 17 minutes of overtime.
And they're off.
Oh, did you hand in the timekeeper's card? And
We love having a guest on the program every Sunday morning. We'll be joined this Sunday, today, this morning, by Andrew Ferguson, who is, well, a happy president of a local footy club around the area in the Black Rock Football Netball Club. So he'll join us in about 15 minutes' time. Got all our regular features on a Sunday morning. Of course, a little birdie told me. And what's going on? It's 6 minutes past 11 for your Sunday morning, and that's when we usually get into a little segment called A Little Birdie Told Me. Who wants to kick off this morning?
I haven't got much, but a little birdie did tell me next week we should be able to release the finals venues.
Ooh, that's big news.
Which will be interesting. And Moorabbin are off the scale, I believe.
I didn't know if you were talking about the Kangaroos or the actual venue.
Oh, not Moorabbin Kangaroos, Moorabbin, Resi Park as they call it.
Okay.
Linton Street.
Linton.
Put a line through that.
Well, I mean, it kind of made sense that they're not going to play there, given the OH&S risk.
They are when it's dug up.
So that's happening now, is it?
It's going to be, yeah.
They're digging it up.
And they're building
it. Redoing the surface.
Yeah.
So that's confirmed, because we spoke to Gary Craney about that a couple of weeks ago. And
grandstand, swimming pool.
Yeah, and the surface.
The actual surface of the ground's getting redone.
Great. Well, that's good news.
That's good.
Good outcome. So 2022 might be the year where we have.
Yeah. So next week we'll know where we're heading.
Fantastic.
And we're going to be, I won't give too much away, but it'll be very, very local.
Local?
Yep.
Hmm.
Well, where they're going to be.
Yeah.
What are you trying to leak now?
I'm not leaking anything. I'm just saying it's going to be
so
close by.
Are you suggesting that there might be a possibility that finals might be played at a venue that Southern Footy League finals haven't been played at and that another league might have played finals at?
Yes, could.
I'm not suggesting what ground. I'm just saying.
Near the bay, mate.
Near the bay?
Potentially. VFL club might play there?
Yep.
But, you know.
We don't know. Again, we don't know. Until it's confirmed, see what happens. But
very
we'll know
good.
Next week.
Yep, looking forward to that.
Little birdie told me today, Austin Johnson from the Cheltenham Football Club and Liam Reddy from the East Brighton Football Club are making their debut for the Frankston VFL side tonight at 6:30 at Werribee Park versus Sydney Swans.
Oh, there you go.
Very good.
Well done to those two boys.
And it's for Frankston. It's not for the Sydney Swans.
No, it's for Frankston.
Good.
And they're on the list. And what Frankston are doing, they're giving these boys who have been on the list a game of senior football, which is fantastic, again, for the Southern Footy League. So
yeah, very good.
Be a bit fresh out at the old Werribee tonight at 6:30. But well done, boys.
The old farm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Wouldn't it?
Just a little cold out there.
A little fresh, all right. Off the breeze off the
Little birdie told me St Kilda City, just before clearances, have signed former Frankston YCW Premiership player Paul Mitchinson.
Okay.
Yeah, so Paul had been training a couple of weeks there. And,
is he related to Darren?
Not sure, but yeah, the name does ring a bell, but by all reports, he put pen to paper and St Kilda City have picked up another handy on-baller.
Notice with interest, Dane Swan didn't play for
them. No, Dane, well, as we know now, Dane Swan is still doing his sportsman's nights.
Oh, he's still doing, okay.
His commitment now is to play for St Kilda City.
But he couldn't play, yes.
For the rest of the season. He's doing a sportsman's night on the 17th of July for Sky Football Club, him and Ricky Nixon. So, yeah, I noticed Dane Swan didn't play today.
The chicken?
Toot-toot.
Little birdie told me that a five-day, five-night former AFL Premiership player decided to come down to a football club on Tuesday night and train and take the boys also for training. He trained for 2 hours and he pulled up a little bit lean after the training session.
You stole one of my little birdies, but you would know a lot about that.
Might have
been one of the clubs that are close to your heart.
Yeah, so that was a big thrill for the boys and thanks for Dermot to doing that.
So
and
did you just give him a call?
Oh, our coach Brendan Moore knows him as a friend and Dermot's very busy and Brendan rang him on the Monday and Dermot said, I'll see you Tuesday night. Came down and off he went. So he really enjoyed it. Fantastic.
Oh, very good. Good stuff.
And more? You know, a lot of the young blokes learnt things off him. So,
yeah.
He'd still get a kick, wouldn't he?
Wealth of knowledge.
That's what I said to the club.
It was in,
get him at centre forward.
In fine form yesterday at the MCG as well.
Mm.
Talking to a lot of people down.
And to finish off, a little birdie told me that the invites have been sent out to all award receivers for the
Hall of
Fame night.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Very good.
That's on in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's on the Wednesday, the 28th of July at 7 o'clock at the Woodlands Golf Course.
Okay, Woodlands. So nice.
Tickets are on sale through the league. And, yeah, there's some names who are going to get inducted and receive awards, which is a good night.
Very good.
Do past inductees get a freebie? What's the go there?
I was going to say, I know. I don't know.
I haven't heard anything.
I think we're paying $70. So.
Haven't seen the free invite ticket fly through yet.
Haven't seen any emails. I know clubs have been notified. So, but anyway, no, good night. It's a good night. And well done to those people who receive awards.
Any more from you, Wayne?
No, that's all I've got.
Carl, you've got something.
He's got
a big grin on his face.
Got a couple, actually. Little Birdie told me that somebody in this room, I'm not suggesting who it is.
That's why you're looking at me.
Somebody in this room might have been a little distracted while he was timekeeping yesterday.
A little? I was more than a little distracted. I'll give you the tip.
Oh, no, look, I'm not going to suggest anything, but...
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Well, I had my grandson terrorise me. One.
Oh, no, Little Birdie told me that it might not have just been your grandson that might have distracted you. It might have been something else.
A league official?
No.
I mean, a league board member, no?
Not related to football. Unrelated to football. One of your other loves.
Oh.
There might have been a little...
Oh, the service from the bar coming to me. A bit slow.
No, not that either. Just
so you've got a lot going on, Bug.
As a timekeeper, not easy.
It wasn't.
No. A little birdie told me that you might have had a little wager on something and might have done okay yesterday.
Maybe.
But gamble responsibly, of course.
That's correct.
I'll tell you what I did do.
I got a bit distracted in the second quarter. Like there was about...
Was it Eagle Farm or was it...
Yeah, and that's another thing. I had the phone trying to watch races. There's a whole lot going on. But Hampton kicked 9 goals in the second quarter, and I think Heatherton kicked 4. So it was a 13 kick for the quarter. But I was just going along there, and I'm putting them all on to Heatherton. And I looked at it about the 25-minute mark. I was like, Jesus, we've had a big quarter. What's going on here?
And we're
home. I'm tweaked. I looked at the other bloke's time card. And I thought, Jesus, how many goals have been kicked here? And we sorted that out.
Yep.
That was one of mine. And another one was that sort of fits under the category, but Little Birdie told me that a former AFL footballer had a day out and has had a day out in the 9 games that he's played for a local footy club. He kicked 27 goals yesterday.
Oh, who in the country? Yeah.
Yeah.
27 lazy ones. Playing for who?
Violet Town,
yeah, against Tally Garupna.
Wouldn't be Josh Mellington.
It would be Josh Mellington.
There's one for you.
How many did they kick for the day? Plenty.
He's kicked 101 goals in 9 games. It's pretty impressive.
He's going along beautifully.
Well, look at in Division 1, Aaron Edwards, 18 goals in 2 games.
Oh, well, that's just as impressive.
Yeah, 8 yesterday.
Yeah, he kicked 8, yeah.
Another bag of 8. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to have a look at the under-19s division and see some of the results that came out of the under-19s football. You can text us in any time as well, 0404 000 736. If there's anything you want to get off your chest, Any thoughts on anything we've said so far, or anything, message us in. We'd love to hear from you. Morty Alex, 7-4-46 yesterday, defeated Cheltenham, 6-6-42. Did you have a look at this
that
game?
Yep. Cheltenham hit the lead in the last quarter, 2 goals up, and our boys just got over the line, and a good game of football. Again, both clubs had players playing in their senior teams, and straight after the game, Adam King, the president, got the broom and swept out the rooms, ready for the Hyatt boys to move in for the day.
So, oh, that was good of you.
Fantastic. Well done, Kingy. Good work.
Good stuff. Very good indeed, and good win for Morty Alec yesterday. Hesline kicked 3, Barton kicked 2. Webster, Frenchman, and Hesline were in the best for Morty Alec. None provided by Cheltenham, which is disappointing. St Kilda City, 2.
Come on, Cole.
Breaking even. Maybe the NBN went down or something. 2 St Kilda City, 2-5-17 yesterday at the Peanut Farm, were defeated by Bentley Red, 8-6-54. For St Kilda City, there was no multiples, but Schrouder, Trevitt and Cannavale were in the best for them. For Bentley Red, Goff McDonald kicked two. Hunt kicked two. Nankervis, Paisis and Apostolidis were in the best for them. And Dingley had the bye. The latter sees Dingley on top. Well, that's Division 1, sorry. We'll try that again. Under 19, Division 1. I think Dingley is still on
top. Still on top?
No, not quite, actually. Bentley Red are on top. St Kilda City is second. Morty Alec third. Dingley fourth. And Cheltenham in fifth position.
And next week in that football at 10 o'clock, Morty Alec plays St Kilda City at the St Paul's ground.
Correct.
Why is that?
Well, it's our home game, but with our first and seconds playing at St Paul's, it's a lot easier for your volunteers to all be at the one ground.
Cheltenham play Dingley next week too.
Is that a final four or five? Do you know?
Don't know.
Well, there's five teams, so yeah, I would say.
Will they have a five or four?
I'd say it'd be a four. Well, I don't know for sure. If anybody knows,
you make the five.
Yeah, let us know.
Feel free to text us in and let us know this morning what it is. In Division 2 of the Under-19s competition, Murrumbeen of 4-2-26 were defeated by Bentley Blues 7-7-49. Gardner kicked two goals for Murrumbeen, no best provided. For Bentley Blue, there was no multiples, just a set of individual goal kickers yesterday. Kruger, Reed and Porter were in the best for Bentley. Endeavour Hills 7-4-46 went down to the Frankston Dolphins yesterday 8-5-53. Again, Endeavour Hills not providing any details, but Frankston Dolphins, Corrigan kicked two, Johnston kicked two, Johnston, Fox and Smith in the best for them. And the last game in Division 2 of the Under-19 saw Hallam 16-18-114 defeat the Narre South Saints 2-3-15. Griffiths kicked three, King kicked three, Tat and McConville had three, and Hines and Gooch had two. King, McConville and Hines in the best for them. And for the Narre South Saints, no multiples, but Williams, Sheedy and Anderson named in the best for them. That's Under-19s football. And we haven't had a look at the women's competition for a little while.
Well, give us a run through.
Give you some
results. We better find out who's winning and who's on the ladder.
Well, I think they all...
Who's where and what and why.
There's no result given to us from East Brighton Casey Thunder yesterday, but that was a game that was played at Hurlingham Park. Endeavour Hills play Clayton today at midday at Barry Simon Reserve.
Well, we're going well. That's two games. We haven't got a result.
And Lindale... One play Bentley at Barry Power Reserve today at 2 p.m.
Three.
So that's in Division 1.
That's why you're not going through the results.
Of the women's competition. But in Division 2, they played some footy yesterday, or across the weekend. Yesterday, Hallam 2-4-16 were defeated by Casey Thunder 6-8-44. Markison kicked two for Hallam. For Casey Thunder 2, Amelie had four and Sandbar had two. For Murrumbeena yesterday, they got a win, 3-3-21 against South Yarra, 1-8-14. Good to see. Frankston Dolphins, 2-6-18 at Overport Park, defeated Morty Alec. I think the Morty Alec women need you to give them a bit of a rev up.
They didn't register a goal?
No. No score.
What was that?
2-8-16.
To nothing.
2-6-18.
No, the girls...
They're a bit hot and cold, aren't they?
They're fielding a side and...
Well, yeah, that's your excuse. I said they're a bit hot and cold.
Yeah,
but
they win one week and,
then they don't score the next.
But remember, wasn't it earlier in the year you thought they won a game and they drew?
Yes.
And that, I think that's the only
game.
That
was against Lindale and, yeah.
Yes, that sang was after a thrashing the week before.
Yeah, they sang the song and then they find out what? On Monday, Tuesday.
It's a draw.
It's a draw.
Well, that's all right. You can still sing the song on a draw.
Yeah, that's all right. And Lindale too, they play today at Barry Power Reserve against Skye, so... There's some women's footy results for you.
And a few games today.
Today.
A lot of games in Division 1 today on the Sunday. And for the record, the ladder in Division 1 sees Lindale 1 on top, Endeavour Hills 2nd, Casey Thunder 3rd, and Bentley in 4th position. There you go. We've covered 19s football. We've covered women's
Div 2
football.
Ladder? Haven't got one?
Oh, you'd like to know the Div 2?
Yeah, we'll find out who's on top.
All right, I'll tell you Div 2. Div 2, as it stands right now, Bentley... Well, that's the under-19s. Let's try that again. Going well. Frankston Dolphins are on top. South Yarra is second. Lindale 2, 3rd. Hallam 4th. Casey Thunder 2, 5th. Murrumbeena 6th. Sky 7th. Morty Alec on the bottom.
We have a couple of sides with two sides, have we? A couple of clubs.
Yeah. Morty Alec have had a win, though. They've had one win and one draw. Mm. So there you go.
That's all right.
Not too bad. Mm. It's all right. They're going okay.
Yep. The win was a buy.
Bug takes it anyway. Yeah. It's all about participation.
Correct.
Participation.
Get out there and have a kick.
That's it. Hey, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter on 88.3 Southern FM. On the other side of this, we'll be joined by the Black Rock Football Netball Club President Andrew Ferguson.
These are some of the ticks, these are some of the ticks that people with Tourette syndrome experience. Tourette syndrome is a neurological disorder characterized by involuntary body movements and vocalizations called tics. It affects each person differently. Visit www.tourette.org.au to know more or make a donation to help us to help those with Tourette's.
The average person spends 44 minutes a day thinking about food. At OzHarvest, thinking about food is a full-time job because we're always looking for new ways to nourish our country and combat food waste and hunger. Every day, we rescue quality surplus food across Australia and deliver it to those who'd otherwise go hungry. And you can help. Every dollar donated to OzHarvest can provide two meals to people in need. Visit OzHarvest.org. Thought for food.
Bowel cancer is the second biggest cancer killer in Australia, but a simple screening test could save your life. So the Jodie Lee Foundation would like you to please take the test, because the more tests that are taken, the less we'll see of bowel cancer. Talk to your GP today.
Hi, Nathan Reynolds. Join me for lunch every Sunday at 12 for Here and There. There'll be plenty to chew over with a great lineup of guests, music and discussions. We'll uncover local news, delve into national affairs, and explore some of the global issues that affect life in Bayside, and leave plenty of room for arts and culture too. Here and There, Sundays at 12 on 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
You're listening to the Fifth Quarter with Carl, Bug and Beanie on 88.3 Southern FM.
This is the Fifth Quarter for your Sunday morning, 23 minutes past 11. Good morning to you. We're covering everything from the Southern Footy and Netball League.
Bug, I've got to just jump in and say I love during the week listening when Carl comes in with the sounds of the day. Hey, with DD, it's look, good,
that's,
Carl.
That's another radio
Can
station.
Can I put a request in?
We're not here to talk about that. No, because that's not my regular role, John.
I know, but you fill in when you fill
when
in.
When I fill in, yeah. What, do you want me to play some of your highlights from
No, just a request for a song about, you know, the theme you go with. It's good.
Who do you fill in for, Carl?
No, so... in my work outside of here, I do work for a little radio station called 3AW. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I get the opportunity to fill in on the Afternoons and Drive program. At the moment, all the regular presenters are away.
Holidays?
And
so you'll be on this week?
No, not this week.
Oh, no.
No. It was only last week. Yep. I filled in for 3 days on the Afternoons and the Drive program. You make a habit of picking me up for it every time I do. So thank you, John.
You did a good job.
No, thanks. I appreciate that. It's nice that somebody listens. Hey, look, Division 3, it's a competition that's flying this year. The Black Rock Football Netball Club is a club that are absolutely flying, and it's good to see them doing so well. Joining us on the line this morning is the President, Andrew Ferguson. Andrew, thanks for your time and jumping on for a chat.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I was going to say, g'day, Andrew. John Bennett here. First question I was going to ask you, how have you adapted moving from your ground down to William Street Reserve there?
Yeah, it's been challenging and probably 12 months longer than we thought it would take. So we were hopeful last year, having the year off, that that would be it and we'd be back at Black Rock and on a new surface and a new $4 million club rooms. That hasn't quite turned up, but really good facilities down at William Street. So it's really just been an adjustment in terms of guys travelling lots of kilometres to get to training and all that sort of thing.
Well, they've got new rooms too, so...
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So it's a bit of a preview of what we're going to have at our disposal once we get back to Black Rock. So it's been good in that respect.
And, of course, you'll be looking forward to when that happens. That'll be next year for sure, won't it?
Yeah, it's all on track to be finished by the end of the year, hopefully, and we'll be in there and ready to go for next year.
They might be unfurling the flag at the new rooms, new ground. Yeah. All goes to plan.
Possibly. We're obviously in a pretty good position at the moment, but as you alluded to, the competition is very strong, so I think anyone in the top five can beat anyone on their day, so it's really just going to be a matter of staying fit and healthy, and I guess first and foremost, we're sort of focused on trying to finish in that top two to give ourselves the best chance.
Andrew Wayne Fuller, how are you going, mate?
Good, how are you?
Having a look at your list, a handy couple of players I noticed. You got Ned Fellon?
Yeah, so Ned came to the club through, I suppose, a bit of a cricketing connection with a lot of us who have come through Hampton Central Cricket Club as well. And, he's obviously played Sandy Dragons and played high-level football up in Queensland. Was probably nearly drafted back in his draft year. And, he knows a lot of people at the club, so that helps. And, it's fitting in really well. And, we're very composed body up in the forward line for us, who's set up a lot of goals, but also kicked it for himself.
And there's another bloke too, Jared Wines. I reckon you picked him up from St. Bede's as well, haven't you?
Yeah, Jared has been training with us sort of 18 months and then finally got an opportunity to play this year. And, he's sort of mid-forward, hasn't missed a training session, I don't think. Just been a really good influence around the club.
Is there a bit of connection there with Hampton Central and the Black Rock Footy Club? Because you've got a few people out of there involved in the club.
Yeah, that's how I came to the club.
As well.
At that time, Nick Millen was president, and I'd known him through cricket, and a bunch of us sort of came through, and there's probably 8 or 10 of us still involved in a sort of a playing and off-field capacity at the moment. So of the senior group, we've got Darcy O'Brien, Cooper Ferry, Kelly Spratt, who's injured at the moment, and just some off-field helpers as well. So it's been good. But that being said, there's sort of a few different networks that we've tapped into that have allowed us to sort of recruit players and get to the position that we have been.
And you're in a tough area too, like in the Bayside area. You've got yourselves, you've got Bo Morris, and then you work your way up. You've got Moorabbin Kangaroos, Hampton. Everyone's sort of in each other's backyard. It's tough when you try and recruit, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And we don't have a junior setup, something we've been trying to get for the last sort of decade. We do have an Auskick program. We're hopeful with the new facilities on the way that we'll be able to get that up and running within a couple of years. That's obviously a while off from ever feeding into sort of the senior side of the club. So, it's very very much a matter of being resourceful and, you go through lean years where you're just trying to survive and then, good things happen. Like, we've had a young guy this year, Max Ward, who's the son of a club legend, Brent Ward, who I think was our games record holder for quite some time. He's come along. He's played at Bowie.
I was going to say, you need to tap into Bowie a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate. Get over there and get fuel him.
Half a dozen of his mates. So there's little things like that. You just get lucky at certain times. And that's from an off-field perspective, that's just what keeps you going. You hang in there where it's tough. And when the good things happen for you, you take advantage.
Now, on the ground side of things, who's the toughest opposition you've had at the moment?
It's pretty hard to distinguish. Obviously, Clayton got the better of us last time, so we're playing them this week. So that'll be a really good game. But we've had close games against every single top five team. And as I said, I think it's going to be a matter of who stays healthy and who performs at the right time of year. So I think anyone in that top five can win it.
Where would you like to play Division Three finals at?
We've had some success at Heatherton in the past, but
good call. Good call.
We'll go with that.
Heatherton or Cheltenham or one of those grounds. Not too fast.
Not too far away either. Close by.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
And how many years have you been club president?
So this is my third as club president, but I've been on the executive. This is now my ninth season, I think.
Yep. And how's it going? Tough?
It's been challenging. Probably it's getting easier with every year, though, I'd say. So our current club executive's been together for sort of 3 or 4 years. Good mix of football, netball, playing, non-playing. We've got a pretty good synergy at the club executive level. Then we've got a lot of help from our extended committee and then just some off-field help as well. But can obviously always use more in that department.
Yep, it'd be exciting too once you move into those new rooms. It does help attracting people, sponsors, functions?
That's exactly it. And we're hopeful of starting a women's team with some female-friendly facilities for the first time. So I think that the Bayside area is a pretty strong area for, junior women's. We've got the new high school down the road from
On the corner,
So you're allowed to use the rooms at William Street for functions? And
Yeah. Obviously, pending the restrictions, but yeah, we have had a couple of functions there, which has been.
And numbers are good at the club. Obviously, your twos are doing good at the moment as well. So obviously, you got a bit of depth.
Yesterday we had wins in both our netball teams and both our football teams. Our first netball was sitting second on the ladder, seniors football was obviously on top, and our reserves were in the top four and had a really important, very close win against South Mornington yesterday, which gave us a bit of breathing room. So important to have both levels of football and netball strong. So there's competition for spots and all that sort of thing.
And it's a one club motto. I'm involved at Mordialloc, like, and our president goes by, it's a one club.
Exactly right. And pre-pandemic, we had sort of three football sides, three netball. We sort of consolidated that coming out of last year. And I think that's been a really good decision. We've been able to sort of focus our resources and make sure we're strong and got the right culture in both our football and netball, which has led through the competition for spots. And Blacklock's always been a club that sort of everyone's got along with everyone. Like, most people who come to the club stay around. And, it's just sort of been slowly building that up over the last few years as well to this.
And you talk of good blokes, like Buddy Spawn. Buddy come over to Morty with us for 1 year and obviously wanted to play higher footy. And what a fantastic bloke who picked up the game, obviously, late and goes back to Black Rock. And what a fantastic club person.
Yeah, exactly right. And, he's been a really important player for this year and us this year. And I think some of the guys that our coach, Ryan Hanley's been able to bring in has sort of taken a bit of pressure off guys like Buddy and Daniel Kick. And they're just, I think, from just looking at it, they're enjoying their footy as much as ever because they're able to just go out there and have some fun. Obviously, winning helps, but sort of a little less leadership stress and more spreading the load, I guess, as well around the club.
And I notice on your social side of things, if I'm correct, on Saturday the 24th of July, you've got a Past Players and Sponsors Day?
Yeah, that's it. So we've got Perfect. Past Players and Sponsors Day, which will lead to our major raffle at night. We're playing South Yarra at William Street on that day. So encouraging all our past players to get along and sponsors to get along with that. And, leading into a big night.
They're good days, aren't they?
For the club. Yeah, exactly right. And one positive as well about our coach, Ryan Hanley, is his dad was president for 10 years or so, late 90s, early 2000s. So Ryan himself grew up around the club. He's got a really strong connection to a lot of the past players. So since he's been involved as a senior coach, there's even just been a strengthening of that bond and connection to the past players. And we've also had a Legends game running as we had the second installment this year. Third installment will be next year when we move back home, and that's been a really positive thing as well. Not only a fundraiser for the club, but just keeping that connection up with the past players, and
it's really important too. You need that database too, just to keep in contact, to keep your social media page is absolutely fantastic, Black Rock, but it's just so important to keep everybody up to date about functions, these sort of things, because unfortunately now we don't get the local paper, and it's a bit different this day and age.
Yeah, that's it. And also, I think also having a couple of key people within the past players network to sort of drive that and just make sure there's particular games throughout the season that they're getting along to and supporting, and just keeping that year on year connection, I suppose.
Yep.
So, have you guys as a club got a plan where you sort of see yourselves in the next 2 to 3 years? Ultimately, the goal right now is to win a Division 3 premiership, but and the aspiration is to go into Division 2 potentially next year. We obviously don't know how the rest of the season's going to pan out, but what do you see the sort of club doing in the next few years?
Yeah, I suppose from an off-field perspective, we just want to be in the best sort of financial and resource perspective. We want to be in the best position we can for even when that does happen. But when we won the premiership back in 2015, I don't think we had those right resources in place. Prior to the pandemic, we've got ourselves into a pretty good position financially, which sort of has alleviated some of the stress, I guess, over the last 18 months. And, heading back to Black Rock, new facilities, hopefully some women's football, launching to juniors, continuing to improve our netball program, and
the culture that Ryan's been able to build with the footballers, I think, you know, we're in a pretty good position if we can, go up a division.
And also, too, it helps when you go recruiting and you're in division. Say you do win it and go to division two, it does become a little bit easier to recruit and get the word out.
Yeah, exactly right.
On your ground, they're redoing the ground. They're not making it any bigger, keeping it the same size?
No, it was kept the same size. They did get rid of the turf wicket, so that's now synthetic.
Ah, that'll make a difference.
Cricket net. So there'll probably be a bit less mud on the ground and brand new surface as well. So
it did get a bit muddy there.
It did, yes.
Yeah. And the people, too, if you don't know your footy and you drive down McDonald Street, Black Rock, there you are. A lot of people ask me, where's Black Rock? And I said, it's behind the tea trees.
Behind all the bushes, all the trees.
Yeah, we're tucked away a little bit. So yeah. I feel like over the last few years, we've tried to make a bit of an effort with our social media and all that to get the word out there that Black Rock's got a football club and a netball club. And I think that's starting to cut through a little bit.
Very good. And yourself as president, as you said, third year, how many more years do you see yourself in the role?
I'm definitely in it for the long term, whether that's as president or helping otherwise. Mm. As I said, we've got a really good executive at the moment, really good committee, always looking for more help, though, and hopefully things like launching a women's football team and that type of thing bring new people into the club that can get involved and help drive us forward.
Mm. Oh, very good. Hey, Andrew, really appreciate your time this morning, giving us a bit of an insight on how Black Rock have been going this year and obviously doing very well on and off the field. Wish you very best for the rest of the season and hopefully we can touch base with you again during finals, hopefully.
Sounds good. Thanks very much for having me.
Good on you, Andrew Ferguson there, the president of the Black Rock Football Netball Club and doing some fantastic stuff. Well,
so exciting times there, into new rooms and they're going well. Like for a club playing away from their actual...
Which is tough.
...home ground, which is tough, and they're going along lovely at the moment. So moving back home, it should be all the sails should be flying for them.
And more recognition too in the Bayside area too, hopefully.
Yeah.
So well done to Black Rock. And as you said, they're trying to get a junior program, the netball, the women's football, and all things going
well. Well done to them.
Yeah, well done.
Good to see and good to have Andrew on to have a chat about how things are going with Black Rock and Division 3 footy and what they're planning ahead for in the future, and good to hear he's with them for the long term as well. Good to have people like that at your footy club. Hey, speaking of Division 3, may as well take a look at the results yesterday. And Endeavour Hills, 19-17-131, defeated South Yarra 3-1-19. The Barry Simon Reserve yesterday. McLean kicked 7 for Endeavour Hills. Holland kicked 3. Hall kicked 2. Marola kicked 2. And Regan kicked 2. McLean, Reed and Weber in the best for them. For South Yarra, obviously no multiples, but Taylor, Gillett and Fletcher were named in the best for them.
I got a text, Cole, during the week from Chris Arnott, a very proud Endeavour Hills person, and all going well out there at the moment. Plenty of numbers. Club's doing really well. They're tapping into the local area, juniors as well, and listens to the show, and they're going in the right direction, Endeavour Hills. So that's really good to hear from Chris, and I appreciate letting me know what's going on down there as well.
Good to hear. Good club.
Someone said they're getting new rooms too.
Chris, if you're listening, mate, let us know if there's more plans happening down at Endeavour Hills. So they're going in the right direction.
Good on you. Good on the Endeavour Hills Footy Club, proud footy club, and good to see them doing all right in Division 3. South Mornington yesterday went down to Black Rock, 3-8-26 to 16-12-108. Benalla kicked 2 for South Mornington. Field, Quint and Lehman are the best for them. For Black Rock, Wright kicked 4, Donoghue kicked 3, Rafferty with 2, Wines with 2, and Knight with the 2. Wallace, Knight, and Sanchez in the best for Black Rock. Doveton Eagles, 2 behinds at Conway Cranes Power Reserve yesterday, were defeated by the Nowri South Saints, 31-26. 212.
Big day out.
I think
someone must have kicked a bag, surely.
Well, a couple kicked a bag. There was 4. Players
for pegs everywhere.
Nolan kicked 5, Brewster kicked 5, and May kicked 5. Querum kicked 4, Bramwich kicked 3, Carlion kicked 3, McLean kicked 2, Chin kicked 2. They all lined up. Gavinlock, Carlion, and Rogers in the best for their efforts. No goals, obviously, from Doveton, but Oliver, Sterling, and Lane in the best for them. Right. And I think Nowri South Saints have declared they're a real deal in Division 3 after that. They've been just quietly going along their ways. But that's a good result for them yesterday. And Clayton in the final game 8-8-56 defeated Ashwood 4-10-34. Sakala's kick 3 for Clayton. Bone kick 2. Henderson, Escrete, and Rigoni in the best for them. For Ashwood, Finlay kicked 2. Van Kuylen, Matthias, and Turner in the best for them. The ladder sees BlackRock on top with the 1 loss and the 9 wins. Ashwood in second position with 7 wins and 2 losses. Clayton, third, 7 wins, 2 losses. Fourth is the Nowri South Saints, 6 wins and 4 losses. And Endeavour Hills, 6 wins and 4 losses.
Still just, in the hunt?
Yeah, most definitely. Just below them is South Yarra, 2-8. South Mornington, also 2-8. And the Doveton Eagles, yet to open their account.
That's a good win by Clayton, beating Ashwood.
Yeah, very good indeed.
Change the tables, second and third, swap around.
Yep. That's it. And only separated by percentage there, Clayton and Ashwood. Not much in it, really. Same win and loss ratio. So.
And it's good we've still got another, like Endeavour Hills, knocking on the door, too. Yep.
Yeah. And
keeps it interesting.
We had a text in a little earlier saying, nobody wants Heatherton for finals. It's a cow paddock, worst ground in the SFNL. Thoughts?
Clown. That's all I'd give him. I don't know any time I'd give him. That was from a clown.
Straight to the point.
We're going
to
take a break here on the fifth quarter.
Probably some people got no idea.
On 88.3 Southern FM. More footy after this.
This is the fifth quarter on 88.3 Southern FM.
I get to jump, run, ride, laugh. Because of blood donors, I got to beat leukemia.
When you give blood at the Red Cross Blood Service, it only takes an hour, and it feels so good knowing you've helped someone like Charlotte. To donate, visit donateblood.com.au or call 13 14 95 today.
Hi, Steve Kay here, and each week I get your music heartbeat going with The Beat Goes On. Fridays from 2 to 4pm right here on 88.3 Southern FM. I play a variety of songs based on a theme from all different genres and decades, and I talk about why I like them and the connection to the theme. It's all designed to connect you with the music and keep your beat going. So join me Fridays at 2pm right here on 88.3 Southern FM for The Beat Goes On.
Hi, this is Bashir Hooley from the Richmond Football Club for RAD. There are many things in life we can't control. One thing we can control is the decision not to drink and drive. So if you're going to hang out with your mates and have a few drinks while watching the footy, have your own pre-game plan. Agree on a designated driver who won't drink, share a taxi, or catch public transport. By planning ahead, you'll make the roads safer for all of us.
A message from recording artists, actors, and athletes against drink driving.
Hello, I'm Audrey for the Family Peace Foundation. My mum and dad are not very nice to each other. It makes us so sad and miserable when they argue all the time. If only they could be more kind and gentle to each other, a home would be great. We know they both love us, but I wish they'd show us how much they love each other. Family Peace. Do it for your kids.
G'day, I'm Rex Hunt. Here's a product I really believe in. We all use it, can't live without it. What is it? It's water. Now, I told you it was a great product. What else has so many uses? Drinking, swimming, cooking, washing, and of course, folks, fishing. But here's the thing. I don't want to sell you more of it. I'm asking you to use less and keep our waterways clean. Otherwise, it'll be, yibbity yibbida. That's all, folks.
The future of water is in our hands.
Listening to the fifth quarter with Carl, Bug, and Beanie on 88.3 Southern FM.
It is the fifth quarter covering everything from the Southern Footy and Netball League. Right now, we're going to draw our attention to Division 4. The first game at the top of the list was Lyndhurst and Dandenong. I don't have any results from that, unfortunately. Nothing was put in. I don't know whether or not anything happened. If you did know anything, I know historically Dandenong aren't exactly the greatest club when it comes to chucking results in, but anyway, no result from them as far as I'm concerned.
Just see if I can find that where you're going on.
Karen Patterson Lakes 12-11-83 defeated the Frankston Dolphins 5-9-39. Wilson kicked 3, McGeniskin kicked 2, Vraka kicked 2, and Jenkins kicked 2 for CPL. McCormack, Vraka, and Benson are the best for them. For Frankston Dolphins, Kerrigan kicked 2, Truitt had 2 as well. McKinnon, Steghouse, and Cruz in the best for the Dolphins.
Now, who didn't you have? Lyndhurst and Dandenong?
Correct.
Lyndhurst were 15, 13, 103. Defeated the Redlegs, 1-5-11.
So why couldn't they put it in?
Don't know.
I think it's
don't
time.
Know the best players were.
It's time. Time for the headquarters to start finding clubs.
You get one warning, and then after that, it should be a $50 fine.
Give him a
kick. I'm fairing. It's like the cricket season.
Yeah, well, I'm honestly, yeah, you know, this too, has yeah. been happening for
it
how many years
too,
where people just can't put their results in. There's no excuse, yeah. right? Even if you go to a neighbour in the Lyndhurst community, knock on the door and say, have you got...
Can you do it? We've had it more. Can you do it? Yeah, no worries, but let's get the results and goal kickers and best players in.
Anyway, that's my rant, little rant. Okay, Widdup Crescent yesterday, Moorabbin Kangaroos recorded a win. 12-10-82 defeating Lyndale, 9-17-71. Kumatitis kicked 2 for Lyndale. Collard kicked 2 for them. Also, Denmead, Caraga, and Smith in the best for them. Nothing from the Moorabbin Kangaroos. Hallam, 9-11-65, defeated Cerberus, 2-7-19. Charlesian had 4, was the only multiple for Hallam. He was in their best with Jerem and Tat.
Good win for Hallam.
For Cerberus, indeed. Yeah. Delane had the 2. Lynn Hinder and Daniel in the best for them. The latter see CPL on top, undefeated. Lyndhurst second, 7-2. Hallam third, 7-3. Cerberus 6-4 in fourth. Frankston Dolphins 4-6 in fifth. Kangaroos 3-7 in sixth. Dandenong with the 1 win and 8 losses in seventh. And Lyndale at the bottom of the ladder, 1 win, 9 losses in Division 4.
Your thoughts, Bug?
CPL will not lose a game, and they'll win the flag in Division 4.
And a further SMS from the...
Simple as that.
We had another SMS in from the clown saying, I'll rephrase what I said. The facilities are great at the Heatherton Football Club, but nobody who's played finals there wants to play there. The surface is shocking. Beanie, you can't argue that. Sincerely, clown. Rebuttal? Any other...
Ooh. Well, he obviously hasn't been there for, you know... His mob obviously don't make the finals, so he wouldn't know.
It's drained. I was down there the other week. The ground was, it's drained.
How good is it, Bug?
And I'm a curator, and I've walked across it, and at the moment it's 10 out of 10. Plenty of grass in the centre wicket area, and they'll cover it too with finals. So
I think maybe they're referring to a few years ago when we had a heap of rain and the ground was a bit of a mud heap, and the finals had to be moved.
Correct.
I got sent down there on a Monday, and the ground was up many years ago. It was absolutely flooded, wasn't it, John? Yep. And they were in a position, and I said, if you don't get this ground up by Thursday, Friday, you're in trouble.
We had rainfall that...
City of Kingston, they've aerated it, the drainage, fantastic.
Correct.
That's great surface.
It's been fixed.
So anyway...
You're allowed to have your opinion.
Yeah, that's
You're allowed
what we
to
want.
Have your voice. We're
like
here.
That, yeah.
You know,
yep.
Nothing's unwarranted here. Right. You can message in whatever you want to message in on 0404.
But if you're going to make comments, you don't make them on the past. You go and have a look and make them on the future. What's happening now?
Correct? There you have it. All right. It's 11 minutes to midday. Let's get into Division 2.
Division 2, East Brighton. 13-17. Very good win here over Keysborough, 5-8. For East Brighton, Johnson got 3, McNamara 2, Hetherington 2, Keysborough, Brennan 2 was the only multiple. Best players for East Brighton were Cochran, Hetherington and Love Linlay, while for Keysborough, McKenzie, Goods and Humphreys. So pretty much through second quarter, they didn't kick a goal in the second half, Keysborough.
No.
East Brighton are looking very
good. Really well.
3 goals of difference at three quarter time and... That was it. They kicked 6 goals
back
to none.
Yes, you did say that.
So has he played a game yet? Do you know?
Well, they've had him listed in their twos. I don't know if he's actually ran out.
In the twos.
Yeah.
Handy twos play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going along very nicely at the moment, the Vampires. Hampton, 19-13-127, as I said. Well done to them. Their first victory for the year. Defeated Heatherton, 13-11-89. So a big second quarter there. They kicked 9 goals. For Hampton, Donald kicked 4, Griffin 4, Lewis 3, Bragg Taylor 3, for Heatherton, O'Halloran 5, Earl 4. So that is interesting, a backman come forward, kick 5, and first game, Warwick Earl kicking 4 coming up from the twos. Best for Hampton with Lewis, Donald and Timms, while for Heatherton, Stone, Clark, Henry and McLaren.
Gormley play, Velardo play.
Yep, they all played.
Looks like it wasn't a bad game of football, though. Good scores from both sides.
It was interesting, actually. I think Heatherton were a goal in front at quarter time, and then they kicked the first three goals into the wind in the second quarter, and then Hampton kicked the next nine straight.
Jeez.
So it was just bombarding the goals. Unbelievable.
And what under Leo Friedman, too, who...
So that was a good day down there for Hampton. Very good. They had a draw on, past players' day, and the joint was bumping. So
fantastic. Well done.
Well done. It was good to see.
And had a win, too.
Good footy club. Very good
to see. Had a win. Hampton Park back on the winners' list. Good win. 11-3. Very straight kicking. Defeated Chelsea Heights 7-11-53. O'Brien kicked 3. Williamson 3. Might 3 for Hampton Park, while for Chelsea Heights, McPherson 2 was the only multiple. Best players for Hampton Park, O'Brien, Davis and Fry. While for Chelsea Heights, Carpenter, O'Neill and the two McPhersons got a mention there. So it's made life hard for Chelsea Heights now.
I think they're sitting about 7th on the ladder now, and they've really got to...
Well, they've only still won 4 games. And just can't seem to beat anyone above them, either.
And Hampton Park.
Mind you, they haven't played 2 of the sides below them.
Well, that's right. And there's Hampton Park, and I think they're still missing Russell Gabriel. So they're ruckman. So they're getting by Hampton Park. So.
And they just sort of kicked ahead of game ahead of Skye. So that's just keeping them.
And that was the win that Hampton Park sort of needed to have. They were in the balance a little bit. So well, with that win, it puts them into a 5. So.
Yeah, well, basically it's a 2-game win because Chelsea Heights would have went to 20 and Hampton would have stayed on 20. Good result for the Parkers. So, Springy Districts, 13-12-90, defeated Skye 5-6-36. Wiedering got 6, Fian 2, Hutchinson 2 for the Districts, while Skye didn't have any multiples. Best players were Green, Hutchinson, Spence, while for Skye, Wadell, Hatch, Frizzle. How many goals has Wiedering kicked now?
Moving along, yeah.
You get the ton, do you think?
No.
Just needs a couple of more eights?
He needs a few more.
Oh, the 2 games missing doesn't help, yeah.
And Springvale Districts, congratulations to George Angelopoulos. That was his 50th club game at 250th career games. This is George Angelopoulos.
I was just about to say something.
He's a vice captain of the club and a 3-time premiership player, 2 at Noble Park and 1 at Springer District. So well done, George.
Good on him. Well, Wiedering's kicked 53 for the season.
53, jeez.
Behind him is Chris Smith on 45, Carnelli 38, Backway 27, and Clinton Johnston with the 23.
It's good. Very good. Good to see some good
goal
kickers.
That's what we want.
Little stat for you.
Yeah.
Murrumbina, 3-7-25, were defeated by the Caulfield Bears, 17-13-115. So the Boone are struggling at the moment. They're hanging in there. But for Caulfield, Smith got 6. Worstling, 3. Dove, 2. Buggy, 2. Backway, 2. Jones, 2.
All their goal kickers were multiples.
Yeah, which is good. Were. Share it around.
Very interesting.
Good stuff.
Buggy, Vincent and Ballard were the best for Caulfield. Brasher, Parks, the best for Murrumbina. And that brings us to the ladder. Springvale on top, still undefeated, 40 points. East Brighton in second spot on 32, a game clear of Caulfield on 28 in third. Keezy on 28. So they've just dropped a game behind East Brighton after that loss yesterday. Then Hampton Park make up the 5 on 24 when we have Skye. A game out on 20, Chelsea Heights 16, Heatherton 8, Hampton 4, and Murrumbina yet to get a win.
And next week, Chelsea Heights play Murrumbina, Skye play Hampton Park, Caulfield play East Brighton.
Be a good game.
Heatherton play home to Springvale Districts, and Keysborough play Hampton.
There you go.
Division 1.
Division 1, Wayne.
Mordialloc 9-13-67, defeated Hyatt 4-7-31. Goal kickers for Mordialloc was Nath Evans 2, Emerson 2, Edwards 2. Best for Mordialloc was Gregson, Morris and Jimmy Keeley. And for Hyatt, they were all single goal kickers, and the best players were Atkins, Jones and Jackson. And well under everyone from the Hyatt Football Club who come up after the game. And we did a presentation to Lex Marshall, who tomorrow hops in the car and
Just Luke keeps driving.
Keeps driving to Byron Bay. So we're presenting with two bottles of red and fantastic to everybody upstairs last
night.
I'll
be gone before he gets to Coquelo.
I was a bit worried though. Twist tops too, and I said to him, Lex, you know, just take him home. You know what I mean? But anyway, well done to Lex and well done to the hype boys and everyone coming up. So that was well done. Bentley yesterday, 9-12-66. We're defeated by Cheltenham, 13-6-84. Cheltenham injuries are hitting them at the moment. Desi keeps playing these young blokes. He had two kids on debut yesterday. I think the McCoon boys, fantastic.
Working. It's working.
It's working. Bentley, Golke, Coachella getting three. The best was the Wynn brothers and Ferns. And for Cheltenham, McCoom on debut, three. Jack Worrell, three. Garnett, two. And the best players for Cheltenham was Worrell, Barclay and Hayes. He's a very good footballer down back, Sammy Hayes. I like him. He's
on the winners list, the Bloods.
Cheltenham have got the best list in Division 1, but they haven't got everybody out on the park. And you're talking of, you know, your Mike Cooks. Rumour is Josh Fox could be done for the season.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But at the end of the day, it's not finals. They're still a few weeks away. They're
doing fantastic pushing through the 19 kids.
It's good. Very
East
good.
Malvern, 7-6-48. Were defeated by Dingley, 11-16-82. No Justin Van Ewen yesterday for Dingley. He's pulled a hamstring.
He's only played the one game, hasn't he? Two.
He did the hamstring in the second game. East Malvern, they're all single goal kickers. The best for East Malvern was Hall, Priest and Johnston. And for Dingley, Simons, two. Faulkner, Wood, two. And the best for Dingley was Pete, McGregor and Hanson. So Dingley just keep going along as well.
Rolling
along beautifully.
Yep.
Poor Colts, they sort of dropped the ball the last couple of weeks, the boys. 10-11-71 were defeated by St. Paul's, 12-17-89. St. Paul's slowly getting played.
Here come
back.
The doggies.
They'll make the dash, but they won't make the five. Mm. So this second half of the
thing, three games out.
So
can't make it.
They'll come home with a wet sail. No details from Port Colts, but for
disappointing
St. Paul's is Carroll kicking three, Muller two, Stantilopoulos two, and the best was Dawes Knox and Brody Lawford. So, Port Colts, they're missing players. They've got to get Perkins back up forward. I think they've got Charlie Clark running around at Dragon, so they've still got a few out, but they'll be there come finals time.
Yep, definitely.
Oakley Districts, 4-6-30, were defeated by St Kilda City, 17-15-117. Obviously, people know that Dane Swan didn't play yesterday, so Oakley Districts, Marriott kicking two. The best was Pearson, Connolly and McGill, and as we know, Edwards kicked eight. Lafleur, three. Irving, two. Potts, two. And the best was Wilson, Edwards and Mason for St Kilda City.
There you go.
The ladder bug?
I did have the ladder. Carl, have you got the ladder?
Here
you
go. Have a look at that one.
And the ladder is Dingley on top on 36. Cheltenham, second on 36. St Kilda City, third on 28. Port Colts, fourth on 28. East Malvern, fifth on 24. Bentley, sixth on 16. Mordialloc, seventh on 16. St. Paul's 8th on 12, Oakley Districts 9th on 4 points and Hyde on the bottom yet to open up their account. But they play Oakley Districts at home next week. And I reckon if everyone's on the park for Hyde next week,
they're a chance.
Win at home, yep.
Big game.
Big game for Hyde, yeah.
And a bit of percentage. It could be very interesting, the relegation stakes there.
Yes.
Well, there you have it. We've come to the end of the show. Don't even have time for what's going on
today. No, we won't. What we'll do next week, a lot of clubs have sent me a lot of information. A lot of functions are coming up. So next week, we'll spend some minutes. But I know Heatherton have got their ladies' day next Saturday.
Yep, against Springy.
Against Springy. It's $40 a head. Mm. And it's a race meeting. Come up dressed as you're going to the races. It's at a country meeting.
I wonder who came up with that idea.
Ross Street Reserve country meeting for ladies' day next week. Mm.
Can ride your horse to the ground.
Oh, very good. And I'd say a lot of people would because there's a lot of horses around that area because it's hard to find Heatherton sometimes. Hey, that's the end of the show. It's been another fun one. Beanie, go have a rest. Wayne, always a pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
Been another great show. Nathan's up with Here and There after us coming up very shortly. Have a great week. Enjoy the footy next week and we'll cover it all again next Sunday morning from 11 a.m. Until then, bye for now.